Somewhere in the darkness, there's a man they call the Skipper, fast asleep, dreaming of gold. He wakes before the sun does, even though he'd rather stay in bed. Curses the cold in Minnesota, why's it always so damn cold? He's got a job.
You're listening to Stonecast, Curling in the Twin Cities with Jordan Wickland and Christopher Lisney.
All right, Stonecast is back. First episode of the new year. Took us a while to get over the holidays and the new year rush, but we're going to get our first episode out. Unfortunately, this episode does not include Jordan. Jordan and I were going to get together at the beginning of the week to kind of do this audio rundown. His wife got a little sick. And he had to take care of the baby. So I just decided I was going to get this out, and we're going to concentrate on doing the next one together, which we have some great ideas and some people lined up. So things will start chugging again here in the new year. So what's happened since the last episode? We did the Junior National West Challenge Round, or I did, over at the end of the year. That was pretty fun. Had a lot of good feedback from various families from around the country. A lot of the parents came up to me afterwards and said that they really appreciated the work we did on that. So I did that with Adam Height at St. Paul, and that was a good time. I thought we did a good product. Since then, the Junior National actual finals have happened in Fargo, and we already know who's going on to the World Championships, which is happening in middle of February. It's like 16th to the 26th in Pyeongchang, South Korea, which sounds like a pretty good trip. I hope they get some support from the USCA to go there. But on the men's side, Andrew Stapera's rink is going to go with Nicholas Conley playing the fifth. His rink got the silver, and Hodek/Slusser got the bronze. And on the women's side, Duberstein is going to the World Championship, and Madison Bear is going to be the fifth. Her team got silver, and Melissa Running got bronze. It was kind of fun watching those teams get on to Fargo that I'd spent so much time commentating. Good luck to all those teams, and I look forward to watching some action streamed from South Korea middle February. The other day I was subbing in on a team on Friday night in St. Paul, which Friday night curling is so much fun in St. Paul. They do the mixed, and the 9 o'clock draw is super fun because everybody's just there to have a good time. They're always couples, and you get up into the clubhouse, and it's just a big party, and it was a good time. And Regan Burr from Blaine was subbing in on a team. She was right next to me, and she talks a lot, which is great. It's really fun. She's very talkative, but she was commenting about how great the ice was in St. Paul, and she was wondering if we had special water and all that sort of thing, which I thought, you got to be careful what you say if your husband is the ice maker at a different place, but I guess she just knows what she's doing. But she was talking about how she went to the Continental Cup in Las Vegas and said she had a great time, and she lined up a couple additional celebrity skips for the Lupus Spiel. A couple of them are pretty big, and the one that I'm most excited about is Mike Harris. He's going to be there, and as many of you guys probably know, he does curling commentary on a lot of Canadian curling networks. I heard him interviewed once, and I just thought he was a fantastic guy. So I'm looking forward to either curling on his team or against his team, or making a fool of myself talking to him in the bar during the Lupus Spiel this year, which is in May 12th to the 14th up in Blaine. So today we're going to be listening to two different kind of mini interviews that I did at St. Paul. At the very end of the Scots Tour, the Scots Tour is this touring group of Scottish curlers that tours the U.S. every 10 years. So I was lucky enough to get to play, and I played lead on Tim McMahon's team, and I played against David McIntyre. He was the lead on the Scottish team. So I interviewed David. And then afterwards, I interviewed Tim McMahon, and we talked a little bit about the club and the Scots tour. That was a super fun event. After we curled, we went and had a fantastic dinner at the Dove Mansion, which is right next on Summit Avenue, right next to the James J. Hill House, a gorgeous building. And the hosts there were fantastic. So it was a pretty special night, and I was, like I said, pretty excited to be there. So one thing is, I want to thank Clay Orvik for helping me figure out what the heck I was doing with the equipment during the interview. I've got some new headsets. They're a different kind of mic. They're dynamic mics, not condenser mics, and I don't know, whatever. The audio is okay. It's not fantastic. It'll get better, but Clay really helped me with my experimentation to cobble something together. Without further ado, the interviews of David McIntyre, a Scottish curler, played lead on the team, and then Tim McMahon. I hope you enjoy, and feel free to reach out to us if you have any other things that you need to talk about.
Stonecast is supported by our friends at the Once Upon a Crime Mystery Bookstore, 604 West 26th Street in Minneapolis. Not only do they have a fantastic collection of mysteries, thrillers, and crime novels, they host some of the best author events in the area. Check them out on the web at www.onceuponacrimebooks.com. That's www.onceuponacrimebooks.com.
I'm here at the St. Paul Curling Club with David McIntyre from Scotland.
Hi there.
This is Chris Lisney from Stonecast, and the Scots are in town. We just did a draw of your Scottish tour.
Yep, that's right. The Harris Maxwell Trophy.
Yeah. So how are you guys doing on this tour so far? Are you tired yet? This is your 11th stop, right?
I think the alcohol level is at optimum setting.
You don't have a back problem.
Don't have a back problem because we're athletes.
Is this the midway point of your tour?
Just slightly over midway.
You just got back from Bemidji?
Bemidji, yep. before that, it was Hibbing, Musabi, Duluth.
I drive by Musabi. I've got a cabin on the north side of the state, like on the border between Minnesota and Ontario. And I drive by Musabi. Yeah, it's not Wasabi Curling Club.
It is.
Musabi.
Oh, right.
Yeah, all the time. So when you were in Bemidji, did you meet any Fensons?
Yep.
You met the Fensons?
We played against Scott Baird, yes, and his son, Randy. Two world champions. Scott had been a world champion, and his son had been a junior world champion. Yes, he played against us.
How'd you do?
We were within a couple of shots.
Nice. Yeah, because it seems like it's not really a competitive thing. It's more of a social thing.
We're not competitive curlers. None of us are competitive curlers. We're all social curlers to varying degrees. You apply to go on tour, and the Royal Caledonian Curling Club, which is the parent body of curling in Scotland, decide what your merits are to go, not particularly on your curling prowess, but if you've done things for curling, whether you help with the juniors or beginners, or you're involved in the management of curling clubs. So it's those all give you bonus points, if you like, to get selected.
So there's like an application process.
Yeah.
Huh. So you have to fill out like a thing that says, why do you think you should select us?
It's, you basically say what level of curling you play at, what you hope to gain if you are selected, and what positions in curling clubs you currently hold, and also what you currently do to encourage curling, that kind of thing.
So if the USCA has anything like that for the next tour, there's no way I'll ever get there. I don't have enough qualifications.
Well, you've still got time. You've got 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, yeah. So I in your bio, you had said that you belong to 6 curling clubs.
Yep.
Which seems crazy to me. I actually belong to 2. I don't curl at the other one. I practice there sometimes, but you guys are going to Blaine tomorrow, I think.
Yes, we are. We have a different system in Scotland. Each ice rink can be owned privately, or it can be owned by the local council or government. not many of them are curling only. They have to have a, like for example, the curling club I play in is Ayr Curling Club in the west of Scotland, about 35 miles south of Glasgow. It's fairly typical in that at certain times over the weekend, it ranges from curling to ice hockey and ice dance. And without the support and the money coming in from them, the curling club would be in real.
So is it on the same ice, or do you have separate ice for? So it's like arena ice.
No, it's we've got six sheets, but we've got a small ice rink at the side, which is quite unusual, where the ice dance and ice hockey can play during the week. But on from Friday lunchtime through to Sunday morning, it's dedicated to the other two sports, and they use.
You mean sports other than curling?
Yeah. Once the ice hockey, usually the ice hockey late on Saturday night, once they've finished, they flood the sheets. So the juniors come in at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and they've got ice that can be a wee bit iffy.
So where in Scotland is this ice facility based on Scotch regions? Like Speyside, Highland?
In the middle of Scotland, you've got Glasgow in the west, Edinburgh in the east. If you go on the west and head south, we're about 35 miles south of Glasgow on the coast, on the Firth of Clyde. So where I live is about 15 miles north of Ailes of Craig, where the granite for curling stones come from. About 14 miles north of Turnberry Hotel, which your new president has just recently purchased and spent a lot of money on. And about 10...
Our current president?
Yes.
I'm sure he divested those interests. I heard on the radio, like, I don't want to get into politics, but I am prepared because, well, I am a little bit prepared to talk about politics. But that's funny that, you know, like, the president apparently is going to, like, his hotel chain is going to open up there in the next 4 to 8 years. They want to open up 200 new Trump hotels around the world. That's using your name.
He has spent a significant amount of money renovating this it's a huge hotel with the Open Championship standard golf courses.
So that's good though, right?
Good for the economy. He's employing local people. So yeah, he gets a little tick for that.
Yeah. So, but beyond that, this is an audio thing. So you can't see the facial expression. So just move on past President Trump. So where are you going from here? You're going to Blaine?
We go to Blaine. Then we
it's
head
too
up.
Bad you can't get to Chaska. I know that the USCA aligns this up, and Chaska is a new curling club. Scott Belvich, who used to be the ice maker here, is the ice maker there, and he played on sheet one. It's a beautiful facility. It's relatively new. The city paid for it. It's all wood, but it's not a USCA member, so that's probably why it didn't get the tour.
I think that would probably rule it out. I believe that in Scotland there are only about 22 ice rinks, whereas you've got lots. So when the Americans come to Scotland, they play in most of the ice rinks, whereas I believe that your ice rinks have to compete against each other to host us. I don't know the criteria, to be honest.
So if in the off year, the 5 year thing, we should probably talk about what this whole thing is. We just kind of jumped into it. We'll go back to that. But in the 5 year, when the U.S. goes there, you're saying that you pretty much hit every curling club.
Yep.
It sounds fun, but it sounds exhausting. And I would like to spend time like wandering about.
We've had very little free time.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks.
Everyone who plays against us is given a little book from the United States Curling, which gives a biography of each player, the Scottish player, and gives you a sort of the itinerary of what we've done and the timescales. It's fairly well regimented, but it has to be to make it work. If we're not doing things on the bus at certain times, the whole thing will fall apart. So,
is this the first time? Are there any people that have done this more than once?
A Scottish curler can only play once, either against the United States or against Canada. can only tour once. You can't play in Canada and then play in the States, or go on two tours in either country. So it's a one-off for all 20 of us. It'll be the highlight of our curling careers, I would think. So we're out to make the most of it, both from a curling point of view and from a social point of view.
Yeah, it seems like it's a very limited... So you have a similar tour in Canada?
Yes.
It'd be interesting to see, to me, because it seems like curling is really growing in the Twin Cities here. Like, we now have, I think, 5 dedicated facilities. And it'd be interesting just to see what people think of the culture, if it's changed from the last time you went, you know, came through.
I can't comment because
it's
you.
Yeah, if it's the first time, yeah.
In Canada, there are 60 Scots go, and they split it into 3 different regions, West, Central, and the Maritimes. So
that tells you something.
Well, I think it's to do with the scope, the size of the country. Scotland, you can tour around, and not 5 hours will get you to virtually everywhere. So it's not on the scale of the States or in Canada. So you don't want to be spending 5 hours on a bus every day to play a game of curling.
All right, so this is your 11th stop. You've been in a bus, and you guys drink a lot. What trouble have you got into?
None really, but...
Nothing?
Not really, but what did happen is our mascot, Sandy, was stolen. Have you not heard about Sandy?
No.
Well, Sandy, poor wee Sandy, disappeared for a few days, and we're driving in through into Portage when the bus was pulled over by the state police with flashing lights, and we thought, oh dear, the bus driver's been speeding. But our courier, Russ, was actually arrested and cuffed, put in a car, because Sandy was returned. But there was a bit of debate about whether he had any barbiturates or anything in him. So that's why Russ was arrested. So when we got up to Musabi, they were very kindly thought that they knew that Sandy had come back, so they gave us a little friend for Sandy.
Is that the little stuffed animal that I see all
that's
carrying?
That's not
around?
A stuffed animal. That's Flopsy. That's Sandy's little friend.
Oh, I see. So you'll bus around for a while here, and then you'll go on a flight to Detroit?
We've got an early rise in the Fargo, something like 3 o'clock in the morning or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, 3:30 it says.
3:30 at the club. Then we fly to Chicago from Fargo. Then we change, get another flight to Detroit. And then we curl in the afternoon.
Wow.
So basically, I think you're trying to kill us.
Yeah, well, it's not me. I'm not trying to kill you. I did notice you guys have really nice gear.
Yes.
Everybody's looking, same pants, Fox Glide.
Yep, we have dress code.
Yeah, and you have shirts. And then you have vests that go over the shirts, and you have sweaters, and you have hats. And then you told me that in the formal, tonight it's going to be a formal thing.
Is it blue blazers?
You have blazers.
But blue blazers and tartan trousers, yes.
Yeah, and you don't have any sponsors, so that's all coming out of your pockets. So thanks for spending that much money to come over and see this crazy country.
If you want to make donations, it'd be more than welcome.
Anybody that donates money to this episode will send it right over there.
Well, that'll be great.
It is, but you know, not only it's just the time thing. It's a big commitment to come over here.
Personally, I'm retired, so it's okay for me. And my wife is extremely supportive, very keen for me to go. But for the guys that are working, yes, it's a big commitment, both financially and the time wise. Yeah.
Well, it turns out your bus is here, so we got to wrap up. But it was fun to curl against you.
Yep.
Thanks, David.
Yes.
Oh,
really
enjoyed
it.
Also taught me how to say slancha.
Slangy.
Slangy, correctly. So I appreciate that. We'll talk to you at dinner.
Yes, we will.
All right, cheers.
Peace. Thanks. Bye.
So I'm here. I'm joined by Tim McMahon at the St. Paul Curling Club. He has his handler, Ron Paul, next to him. He does not have a mic, but the board required that he's here in case I ask the tough questions.
Yeah. Is he able to hear this at least?
Yeah. So one thing, I'm just going to ask some rapid fire words, and I want you to say the first thing that comes to mind. Whiskey.
I got nothing.
Failure.
You know what I was going to say, and I can't say it right now. So
why not?
Whiskey. Hangover. How's that?
Scotch.
Love.
Mm. Scottish Curlers.
Love again.
USCA.
Tolerate.
Yeah. I was telling this David McIntyre, who was the lead that played out against us. I was on Tim's team here at the Scottish Tour, which was super cool.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. So they came down, they're touring all these clubs, and they visited us for the day, and we're going to go have dinner at some fancy place. I get to wear a suit and tie.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was talking to him, and he had said, I totally lost my train of thought, so I have no idea what the hell I was supposed to be talking about. Yeah. So
well,
there you go.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I don't
know. That was a, you know what? It was a great game. We had, God, that was a fun day out there. Wasn't it, Ron? He said it was, yeah.
Did we give up four?
At the end?
Oh, no. Did we get four at the beginning? No.
We gave up one, then we scored four, and then we scored four again.
That
and
was
then,
the Orvik rink that gave up four
that's
right
correct.
Away.
Yep. But every one of our teams fared well against the Scots.
Is that true?
Yeah, we went 5-0. Every team won by 2 points, between 2 and 4 points, so it... you know, it wasn't like we, you know, did anything too obvious or anything like that. It was just a good day of curling. So, had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, I feel pretty honored that I was allowed to curl.
Well, you're kind of a big thing around here, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, short stature, but but wide shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I carry a big stick, or so they say.
So now tonight, when we go over to the party, are you going to be interviewing some people over there, or what's your plan?
I could, but I wasn't planning on it.
Okay. Well, just come over and enjoy it, though.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. This only happens once every 10 years.
Yeah. So now I was talking to David, and apparently they do a Canadian tour, too, from Scotland. They do 60 curlers come over, and there's 3 different regions. And you can only attend one. Like, is that do you know if that's the same for the United States if we go over there?
Oh, they can only come here once and then that's it. So
no, but how about us going over there?
Well, it's kind of the same situation, I think, because what happens is 20 curlers from America, all of America, are picked to go. And it's been a while, I think, since the St. Paul curler has represented. For sure they didn't go 10 years ago. I don't know who might have gone 20 years ago, but yeah, I don't know. If we show well this time, maybe they'll ask one of us. That'd be cool.
I think you have to apply, though, and apparently you apply. Well, if it's the same for the Scots, they said that you apply and they do it based on some sort of merit scale, like what have you done for the sport?
Okay.
You know, have All you right. supported the juniors? Have you been president of the club? So do you have enough money to pay the $8,000 it takes to get over there?
See, I could do 2 or 3. That last one, no shot.
Listen, I'll give you $25. I'll sponsor you as long as you have put a patch.
Okay.
I want a patch.
It's a done deal. Let's do a little fundraiser. I think that's a good idea.
Stonecast.
I will wear the Stonecast patch.
All right. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
I'll even get the tattoo if you got one.
Really? Where will you put the tattoo? Can I choose?
To a certain extent.
How about right by your eye?
Yeah, me and Mike Tyson, we can be brethren, man.
When I was down in Mexico, I met this guy. His name was Jim, and I met him at the first day I was there, and he had a diamond tattoo. He had a diamond tattoo on the side, and he followed our group from one bar to another bar. And when we got to the other bar, he basically tried to sell me pot. What's what it ended up being, but
was his name really Jim?
Yeah, Diamond Jim. Yeah, that's what I called him, anyways. And he was an American, you know, expat. He used to work at Ameriprise, apparently. But he said, "I said, oh, I'm from Minneapolis." He said, "Oh, I used to work at Ameriprise," and I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, then your pot must be really good, I guess." But it was really weird. He like followed us, but that's and apparently I looked it up in prison tattoos. A diamond, if you have a diamond on the side of your eye, that means that you have gone. You've had some horrible, like, emotional, like, psychiatric, some horrible thing happened to you.
Wow.
And you're covering up the tears because you're tough as diamonds.
Oh, that's deep. I don't see any tattoos on you.
Nope, I've had no trauma in my life.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah. in prison. I've had no trauma in prison. All right, so anything else you want to talk about, Tim? What's going on in the club? You're the president of the club.
Yeah.
Come on, represent. You do a great job. You have really good timing, by the way.
Why is that?
The way you talk about, you know, you're shilling the book to those guys.
Yeah.
The way you said something about, like, oh, start at page 64. That's a good place to start. And it's just, you just delivered it really well. You're good at that.
Well, thanks. I just, you know, I had to look to make sure that we had talked about the Scots in the book. I don't know. Does anybody know about this book?
Yeah. Well, yeah, our co-host, he's the reason why you bought so many, right?
Absolutely. He's the reason it started. That's right.
That's why he's here, though, apparently, because he got involved in that book, and then he was like, oh, I want a curl.
Well, yeah, Mr. Wicklund kind of helped us along on that. And yeah, he thinks that because of that, he was able to get into the club. I think technically it was really because he won the drawing to get into the club that year. So,
is there a drawing?
There is. When there's a waiting list, and there is still a waiting list. And so if people are looking to get in, yeah, you know, they move up the list, obviously. But
So there's still a waiting list. Because the year that I got in was 3 years ago on Tuesday night, and I brought a whole team in. And there was another whole team that came in. So just certain nights probably have different waiting lists.
If you were to try to get into, right now or Thursday, if you were to try to get in on a Thursday night, forget about it. And I curl on Fridays and mixed at 5 o'clock. I got in 10 years ago, my team. We were the second to last team that's ever gotten in there. So, yeah, there are 16 teams in that league, and I'm the 15th in seniority.
So you're just saying that Tuesday's the not desirable?
I don't know about that. It just so happened to work for you. I think as you get deeper in the week, people are ready to, you know, kick back a little bit and have a good time.
So tonight's dinner, what's going to go on for dinner tonight?
Well, here's the situation. Oh, we're losing my sidekick.
All right, now we're going to talk about the real.
Let's talk about Ron.
Yeah. Listen, I heard he ran for president.
Yeah, well, he's going to, I'm going to stump for him here in a couple of years for sure.
Oh, this president, I meant.
Oh, that president. Yeah, that was like years ago, but didn't work for him. He'll be president here, though.
Will he be a good president?
I think so.
What will be his weaknesses?
I don't know. The guy is about as thorough as it gets, and he's detail-oriented, and you kind of need a guy like that.
Are you like that?
I don't think I fit the bill. I got my mind's all over the place, so I'm sorry about that.
But. Well, except you have a whole board, so hopefully you have some people on the board that are more visionary.
You know, that's the beauty of our board, and that's what I'm so happy about, is that when we put our board together over the last 3 years here that we've got, it's some of the better people I've ever dealt with in life. And everybody's got a diverse opinion. And that's one thing we wanted, was not one set idea that carries through. We wanted everybody to have some ideas. And that's what makes the board meetings a lot of fun. And we get a lot accomplished that way, too.
I did notice when we were interviewing the candidates for the board, now they didn't all make it, but the different people have different focuses, sure. You know, like Kristen is like an international person, and she was like, oh, we got to make this club, you know, known internationally and blah blah blah, you know. And then other people are like, we got to build this club up. And it's just interesting that there's a lot of different avenues of, you know, of what makes a club interesting.
Well, yeah, and you know, I think people that come in and curl their league and take off, and you know, or sit upstairs and have a beer or two afterwards, that's what it's all about for sure. But I don't think 80% of the club really realizes what the inner workings are around here to keep it up and running and you know, make it so people don't have to think so hard when they come in the door. You know what I mean?
Well, I find curling, I have to think a lot. That's why I don't like people talking to me while I'm out there trying to do what I'm doing.
Well,
or not doing.
You're getting there. You were very good today.
Oh, yeah. I kept on throwing through the house.
No. No, that was a couple of times.
Well, you know what's funny? This is it's not that interesting, but it might be interesting. Like, so remember the very first rock? I threw it through.
Yeah.
And because because I play Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, and when I usually get on, the first rock, when I play lead on Sunday, and no matter how hard I throw it, it always is way short, and the sweepers are trying really hard. So I got out there, and I was like, okay, well, now this is the big time. We're on the show sheet playing against the Scots, the team that's the leader of the whole Scots tour. We're playing. I'm on the president's team. So I threw it really hard and went right through it. Ron's like, oh, you've never played during the day here, have you? He said the first draw, he said, it's fast. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Why would that be?
The beauty of your shot, though, is that they took it to mean we had really fast ice. So what did they do? They hogged it.
Oh, so, great.
Well, so you actually did a very good service for our team. You're a good strategist.
I didn't give them any information. So, hey, this is totally off topic. I've been meaning to ask you about this foundation thing. What is that? What is the, if you, without a foundation, if someone donates money to the curling club, does that mean that they're not supposed to legally write it off?
Yeah, that's basically it. It's, with the foundation, we're what is called a 501c3, and it's a separate company, basically. So, if a person makes a donation, it is definitely tax deductible that way. And the money then would be used for anything historical or educational that is within the facility here. So basically, any kind of improvements we make to the club room, because it's on the historical registry, would be covered by that. So if people want to donate to that, that means we get, funds that they can write off. And we were able to use. So
the club room is on a historic registry?
Yep. The building itself. The arena is questionable.
You can say that again.
Yeah. Well,
you know what? I had a great idea. I tell people this all the time that I have great ideas. It's not that great. I had an idea the other day. And this is probably really bad. But see all those boards? It looks like we have tongue and groove boards going across the back.
Yeah.
That's painted battleship gray.
Right.
We should remove those boards, and it should be like a light pine or a light birch. It should wood grain. Wouldn't that be gorgeous if that whole wall back there was all wood?
You know, ever since the Chaska Club's been built and you see all those beautiful wood beams they have down
there.
Yeah,
wood would be great.
I'm a wood guy. I mean, that's my thing, too.
I heard that about you.
I winked at him. Anyways... Yeah, I do agree with you. I think if we had some kind of... Actually, what you're seeing out there is what's called T111 plywood, and it's just painted. And so you're right. I agree. Everything
like
out
grooves.
There is so gray. It is. It's grooved, but that's what the...
Because you are a wood guy.
I'm a wood guy, so I can tell you this. But I'm with you. If we get to the point where we can go all, let's say, pine or cedar out there, I think that would be awesome.
I was thinking pine, light pine or light wood, kind of like an ode to Scandinavian design, just because if it was dark wood, it would be dark out there, and we have all these new lights. God.
Oh, that'd be
manager
cool.
Of the club walks by in a suit.
Isn't he looking handsome?
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, man, we have to leave in a few minutes here, too. We all have to dress in suits. You asked me earlier about what's going on tonight.
Yeah. All
right. We're heading down. There's a curler here. His name is Dick Nicholson, and he and his wife, Nancy, bought the old Louis Hill house, which is James J. Hill's son, down on Summit Avenue here about 20 years ago. And they've built up and restored that house to its original splendor. Yes, they do.
You should talk to them about this 501c.
Yeah, absolutely. There's certain families we're going to hit up. There's no doubt about that. But no. You're going to see tonight, it's an amazing house. They've done some wonderful things with it. They host a lot of parties down there. Usually they do it gratis, and, but
just they like it.
They like it. That's their love. That's their retirement type thing. And they're not even that old, but they sure have a good time doing it. So, yeah, so we're going to enjoy tonight. There's no doubt about that. Oh, by the way, the Mayor Coleman will be showing up at this as well.
So we're going to wrap it up.
I think we do. I think we got to get all
spiffed
up. So,
I want to thank you, for having me on your team.
Thank you for playing with us. It was fun.
You didn't give me too much grief for being such a, stooge curler. 3, you do a great job as president. 4, for getting my name right.
Chris Lisney.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Cilantro.
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 It's like Slanja.
I got to remember that, so I hope you're right with
Slanja.
Okay, beautiful. Right. Thank you.
Skipper, fast asleep, dreaming of gold.